Thank you, everybody, for hanging in there, sticking it out. Send some messages out to your fellow GSRs, service warriors that are out there. Share the Zoom ID and passcode. Get them in here. All right. You ready, Craig?
Yes, sir. Yes, Captain.
I'm enlisted, so NCO is fine. So the next workshop, Craig is gonna be the primary lead, but we're gonna be working together as we go through this exercise. This is on goal setting, and how a local fellowship, either a group, an area, or a region, would approach an opportunity. We've heard several opportunities so far today, and how we as a fellowship would go about making some of those really cool ideas a reality in our fellowship. Oh, and sorry, Craig R is the subject matter expert in our fellowship on goal setting. So we are honored and privileged to have him here today presenting for us.
Hey, Brandon. Hey, I'm an ag named Craig, and thank you, Kelly, for us partnering together on this and inviting me to be with you on this. And thanks to the Alabama, I started to say Northwest, Alabama, Northwest Florida, region for sponsoring this and allowing me to be of service and that kind of thing. So I'm gonna walk you through a PowerPoint, and then we'll see where we are with discussion. And I'm gonna walk us through this, and Kelly's gonna jump in when he wants to, and then I'm gonna pass off to him, and we're gonna try to make this a productive period of time. So I am going to share my screen first of all with you guys. And Kelly called me to SME around planning. And my experience comes from I served on the World Board for 12 years. I was chairperson of the board. We had many, many planning exercises. I've taken that experience and information from being involved with World Service. I'm still involved with World Service. I serve on the human resource panel for World Service right now. And before being elected to the board, I was a World H&I chairperson. So I've been involved with World Service for since I had 4 or 5 years clean. And now I've been 33 years clean. And I've taken that experience and tried to share that throughout other communities that I've been involved with, area, region, and now the zone. And so I've been working and developing strategic plans for like the Northeast Zonal Forum PR committee a couple of years ago that Wavina just spoke about, the US zones, meeting of the US zones. I led the work group on the strategic planning for that and the Autonomy Zonal Forum. And trying to, move us toward that direction as well. So it's kind of where my experience base comes from and looking at ways that we can better do things. I think planning is one of the most glaring deficiencies, if you will, in our service structure. And it's not anything new. So I'll talk about that in a second. But let me get this slideshow going here. So this is all about our primary purpose. There's nothing else more important than that. That's why we're all together on a Saturday at that's why you guys joined this call. It's all about our primary purpose and doing things to help other people find our program and experience the same recovery that we've been experiencing. So planning is a way to reach our shared goals and our shared story. We have a shared story here in NA, and planning helps us get to that. This screen is about collaboration, and we've heard a lot of that today. Collaboration between FD and PR and H&I and conventions and those kind of things. And that's, I got some background music going with my, that's not part of my presentation, but I'll take it, you know. But the thing of it is that each one of us has something to give. And collaboration helps us get to that point. It's like a link in a chain. And no one knows as much as all of us do together. That's for sure. This is our vision. Everything that we do in service is about our vision for NA service. This used to be the World Service vision for NA service. And we changed that because service is just not world service, it's throughout our fellowship. And this gives us something to aspire to. That's what a vision statement is all about. So if you look at those four bullets, there are different ways and different methods for achieving those bullets within our local community. If we take the time to have thoughtful discussion about it, we can do that. So why do we plan? Here's the thing is that planning is not this new kind of thing here. We've been planning for years. Hell, this event that we're having today took some planning. Take a moment and think about your own home group and some of the things that you might do in your home group, in your area. It's planning. The thing that helps is that efficiency is doing things right. Planning helps us make sure that we're doing the right things. That's the deal. That's the difference, is making sure we're working on the right things together and having the home groups influence that and achieving our vision. And again, it talks about this is the way we've always done it. Kelly asked that question earlier today about this is the way we've always done it. How do you overcome that? I don't know if it's so much of overcome it as to giving people something to think about. When people tell me this is the way we've always done it, what I share with them is that, yeah, well, you know, I shot dope for almost 15 years as well. That's the way I'd always done things. That didn't make it right. And so when I talk about doing the right things, I believe that I can also do the wrong things right over and over and over again. So this is about planning helps us work through that. Who's part of that planning? Anybody who wants to be involved with it. Current trusted servants. People no longer involved with service. How many of you know people that have been clean for a long time when they rotated out of their position or responsibility? They're no longer involved. There's a lot of untapped potential that we have in our fellowship. And planning can help us reach that untapped resource. Invite everyone to participate in it. And here's the thing, today's session, this is just to introduce you guys, expose, talk a little bit about what planning is. This is not a planning session. If we were face to face, if we were in person and planning and wanting to have a planning process and planning procedure, incorporate that in our area, region, or zone, we would be all sitting together. We would have small tape. We would have groups of people in small groups. We would ask people to sit near people in your own geographical area. And then we would brainstorm some things. And it's not an overnight, one day kind of thing. This is a series of meetings. So today is just to introduce and hopefully stir something in you to plant the seed that maybe this is something you would like to, that you see a benefit. This is just the planning basics. If you've, this is a resource that World Service provides just like we have H&I basics and PR basics, this is planning basics. And it helps break things down in a more consumable kind of way, easily translated, 3 or 4 pages that really highlights planning and the steps to strategic planning and those kind of things. This is the planning cycle. So here is, and it's really just four overall things here: gathering information, take the time, whether it's through a survey or us just getting together, brainstorming, and looking at what is it that we want to work on? Where are the issues at? Where are the opportunities? I'm pretty sure I'm a guess that some of you have heard the term SWOT: strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, like the scanning that Chris talked about, the environmental scanning. I also like to introduce the term SOAR, which is strengths, opportunity, aspirations, and results. And looking at those things as opportunities are more positive oriented. And but all of that's part of gathering information, identifying, prioritizing the issues. Everything can't be worked on at once. What is the issue that is the most important to us carrying our message? What is the issue when that will have the most impact on us carrying our message and us working together to prioritize that? One of the best things about planning is it allows us to practice consensus. And consensus is when everyone has a piece of the truth, that we all have a stake in this, that we all have value, and that we all have the opportunity to interject and put input to something. And then we can all own something at the end of the day. It's the best way to practice our concepts, especially fifth, five, eight, and nine. This consensus gives us a way to actually practice that, and planning is a way to execute consensus. So we have, you create project plans, you monitor and evaluate. Monitoring and evaluating essentially just means having someone to look to continue to monitor and check on the progress of the project. And evaluation means we take the time, we put things in place. It's essential that we take the time to evaluate what we've done. What do we need to start doing? What do we need to stop doing? What do we need to continue doing? An example of that is I was the Free State Regional PR chair here in for Free State Region in Maryland when I moved here a couple of years ago. And we created a work plan, a 2-year work plan for the committee. One of the things in that work plan was putting billboards up in every area in our region, 10 areas in the Free State region. We embarked on that project. We took it to the RCMs. We got approval and funding. And part of the evaluation is we've got this billboard set up on Curtis Avenue in Baltimore. We just didn't choose that location. We strategically talked through that location. We talked to home groups in that area. We talked about the potential of reaching people. We thoughtfully thought through it. And then after it was in place for 9 or 10 months, we had to look at, okay, how many calls did we get in to our helpline that were the result of that billboard? That's the kind of evaluation that I'm talking about. Looking at, was that effective? Did we get a good return on the investment? All those kind of things, evaluating what we do. These are the seven components of planning: gathering information, list and prioritize issues. Everything can't be first. What's the thing that has the most value, the most impact? Develop goals, not how we do it, but what we do. Develop goals, shared goals, and then also prioritize the goals. Okay, what is the most important thing? What's the thing that's going to give us the most bang for our buck and that will have the most impact? So we've prioritized the issues. Here's the number one issue. Here's what we believe is the number one issue that impacts service delivery of services, that either is an opportunity to further carry the message or is an obstacle to carrying the message. We identify that, prioritize. Let's do that first. Develop goals. Okay, what's the goal? What is it that we're trying to achieve? And then you will prioritize the goals. There might be two or three goals, but we look at what's the most important thing. And the second thing should build on the first thing. We create approaches. How do we get there? You know, if the plan is that we're going to Pensacola, Florida, which is part of your region. We're going from Huntsville to Pensacola. How do we, that's the goal, is to get to Pensacola. How do we get there? What highway do we take? What routes do we take? All those kind of things. Those are the approaches. And you also prioritize the approaches. So there are three points here to prioritize. And you develop action plans to get there. This slide is about routine services. Here's some, these are things that don't change much from month to month. Those are the kind of things that actually don't take really a project plan. They don't change much. You know, we do the same things every month. And you look at what resources, when we're talking about projects and prioritizing, one of the things to look at is what resources are available. But some things don't take a project plan. We do this from month to month. Harold is the treasurer, if he's still on the call. Harold is the treasurer for the Southeast Zone. He knows the things that the Southeast Zone do from month to month. We don't need a project for that. But what is it that we do within the Southeast Zone that we might need a project for? When we have project-based services, again, guys, think about it. We've been doing this for years. We just didn't call it that. Think of a convention committee. Think they have certain tasks. The convention start, the planning for the convention starts on a certain day. The object is to put on that convention in April down in wherever the beach that is down in your region that I would love to come to, by the way. Fun sun on the coast or fun on the sun coast, whatever it is. But those kind of, you guys, we've been doing that for years. And it has a beginning and an end. So we have project-based services that we're already doing. We're talking about expanding that and making it part of our culture. They may help improve what we currently do, or it may create a new ongoing service. It's just looking at it in a way that's task-oriented, purpose-driven, and we have a group of people working on it on our behalf. So, Kelly, I am passing this off to you to see what you, where you are, what you want to do. I'm gonna stop screen sharing, but if there's an opportunity to, what time is
demonstrate.
It? To demonstrate, take questions. I'm gonna stop sharing and pass it off to you.
So let's demonstrate a, again, I'm gonna echo and repeat some of the things that Craig said, just so that we can kind of load them up into what we're thinking as we start. So the definition of a project, and he gave the definition, but I just want to reinforce the definition of a project, is it has a beginning and it has an end. So when thinking of projects, there is an end to what it is that we're going to be trying to do. There will be a result. There'll be something that we're looking for. Going back to goals, a goal should be measurable. Like Craig gave the example of going down to Panama City Beach. It should say also by 6 o'clock. Well, how do we get there at 6 o'clock? That's how we plan. That's, our goal is I'm leaving that Thursday. I want to be there. Well, let's say 4 o'clock, right? That's my goal. I want to be there and at fun in the sun by check-in time on Thursday. So I want to be there by 4 o'clock. Well, that's the goal. And now I begin to plan that. I want to share something. Here, let me. If I'm going to do a Lovina and say, where did it go? Where? Okay. Yes, here we go. All right. So I'm going to share Harold's favorite thing. So this is a map. Craig, can you see this on your screen?
Yep.
Okay. So this is a map, and it's called, if you look at the website up there, it says Tally BMLT dot app, right? So this is BMLT Tally. BMLT is Basic Meeting List Tool, all right? And it is an aggregate. An aggregate is a word that means all inclusive, including everything, of all the root servers in the world, actually. But in this case, we're looking at North America. So the red dot, the red buttons, and the blue buttons and the red buttons represent meetings where there are Narcotics Anonymous meetings. So if we scroll out a little bit, it's all busy, right? But as we scroll in, and you can see North Alabama, and so if I click on there, let's see, click on, let's zoom in a little bit more and click on that. Point of Freedom. Survival group. Okay, so, but I want to show this area right here. There is an entire hole in Alabama, all in up into Mississippi, where there is no Narcotics Anonymous meeting presence. And Harold affectionately refers to that as the black hole in our state. Although the population density, and let me show the population density, and dark green, lighter shade green, is a lower population per square mile. It would make sense that, if you see this hole, it corresponds to here. However, any addict seeking recovery, any addict. And with the way that our fellowship has changed recently, where you, as Chris mentioned, there are over 2,000 meetings of Narcotics Anonymous available today. Not in a day, but if you go to virtualna.org, you will see at least 5, 10, 15, 20 meetings available every hour somewhere. So I find it, Harold and I both believe that we find it very difficult to believe that in Grove Hill, Jackson, Butler, Greenville, there are no addicts suffering from the disease of addiction. None. That is an app that is that does not exist. That is not a reality. So we know there's addicts there, and we know that they're suffering. And so I'll stop sharing with that and go, okay, so we're going to take this. We've done, bring up the PowerPoint again, Craig, with the with the cycle. Scroll back.
Oh, wrong way.
Yeah, go the other way.
Oh shit, come on. Hold on a minute. Oh, what happened?
Stand by. Stand by. Stand by. There we go. Very, very animated, very colorful. The
Come on,
so
computer.
again, I'm gonna, when it comes up here, I'm going to
Emma.
look, show, okay, so gather information. So we gathered information right there, and we show that there is a huge square miles in the state of almost, I would say 30%, maybe 25 to 30% of Alabama, the state of Alabama, has no presence of Narcotics Anonymous at all. So we've gathered the information. And then that information then would come to the region as identifying, prioritizing the issue, brainstorms, goals, and solutions. And so what would happen next is an RCM of the region would say, we've looked at this, we've identified this as an issue, and we want to make this a priority to do something at least that this will be a this will be a project that'll be a priority for our region within the next year. Okay. And so we've identified and we prioritize the issue that there is no presence, no Narcotics Anonymous meeting present in that part of the state. And so then we would brainstorm goals and solutions. So Craig and I will brainstorm goals and solutions. So what do you think, Craig? How could we, what would be a goal or a solution that we would apply to this whole gaping part of our state that doesn't have a meeting on Narcotics Anonymous?
I would think one of the goals, if not the top goal, would be to increase the number of NA meetings there. I'll leave there just like that. Increase the number of meetings, right? NA meetings.
So
So,
establish the creation and establish one meeting of Narcotics Anonymous in one of those other three cities or the three towns in that area, a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous within the next year.
yes.
Okay. So now we've gathered the information, we've prioritized this as what is going to be a priority to the region, and we have set our goal, and our goal is to establish a meeting. So now we're going to create a project plan. Do you have your Word document that has? All
Yes, I'm following it along.
right. So you want to screen share that?
And before we get to the project plan, we need to look at ways to achieve the goal. How do we, that's what we, if we've looked at the goal, I thought I had a project.
Establish one consistent weekly NA meeting in one of the three towns in Alabama within the next year.
Okay. Bear with me. I'll close that window. How did I close that window? Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Hey, Kelly.
Yeah.
So, on that little project, dealing with that black hole I saw on your map. You know, out of that project, we did come up with, we was able to get two groups established over that area with the potential for a third. But those talks with that center and that facility, that church, kind of broke down. And that was something I was going to bring to the region.
So hold on to that, Harold. Hold on. Bring that into the discussion, because that is the fourth circle that we haven't talked about yet. All right. So in the screen share, we've done that, and now we're going into issues, goals, and solutions. So the issue is obvious. There's just no one has been able to establish a weekly NA meeting. And so our goal is to establish one. And the solution should be where we, through public relations, if the region had a public relations subcommittee, that they would reach out to treatment centers, recovery homes. They got to be there, and reach out and ask for if anyone that is going through treatment, anyone that is aware of Narcotics Anonymous but maybe going to another fellowship, to reach out to someone from the region. And then what we would do is we would establish a connection, a relationship now. So now we've established a relationship with at least one person. And that relationship would develop a sense of you're not alone. You are not alone, okay? It may feel like you're alone, but you're not alone. And with the side effects of the pandemic, having this radically changing what meetings are like, we now have the ability to say, go ahead, you know, we will, three or four of us will join, will make a commitment to join you once a week. And so, like Wolvina, or like Chris had talked about in fellowship development and how they reached out to a church, reach out to a church that, like he said, look for where AA meetings are meeting in churches. So that is an action, right? An action that's a part of the plan. So we establish a relationship with at least one member that's living in that location. Encourage them to look at where AA meetings are meeting in churches. Contact the church and ask if they can meet once a week with an NA meeting. And if they can, encourage to find one that has internet access. Because with internet access, that one person now can show up and join a virtual NA meeting that is going on during that hour. And now they're not sitting in a room alone anymore with the readings laid out on the table, hoping somebody shows up. Now they are joining, and they're joining an ongoing meeting with established trusted servants. And we would then help them to create flyers, to reach out to the professionals in their area, to let them know that there is now a weekly Narcotics Anonymous meeting at this location, and that we are attending virtual meetings so that when they come, they're being exposed to other members throughout the country that are participating in their recovery. Does that track, Craig?
Yeah.
So next we're going to look at what Harold talked about. And we're not going to go back to it, but on the slide that Craig had up with the four circles, monitor, I call it monitor and control, but control is a taboo word in Narcotics Anonymous, but monitor and evaluation. So we can't just in this project say, We found Jack. Jack has 2 years clean, and he works in as a peer support specialist for a treatment outreach specialist in one of those towns. And he's going to start a meeting on Tuesday night. And then what is really, really, I hate to use the word bad, but what the worst thing that could happen at this point in the project is we wash our hands and we say we're done. We're done. That is the absolute worst thing to do. What we need to do is have in that project plan, like I had said earlier, part of the project plan is we try to recruit or we try to encourage 3 or 4 members to be a source of support and make a commitment to be there each and every week to join Jack as he's opening this meeting. So, you know, again, it's that going back to establishing a relationship. Now, establishing the concept of establishing a relationship and stuff like that, that's not really directly related to the topic that we're talking about, but it's a characteristic of what is going to make this particular project successful, is that 3 or 4 members are establishing a relationship of trust with Jack, who's living on his own out in the middle of this hole in Alabama that doesn't have a meeting, and that they make a commitment to be there for the next year. So that is the monitoring and evaluating that every week, one of the three is going to be there with Jack opening this meeting and being there with him every week. And where we evaluate is at the end of the year, if Jack is still sitting there alone, then we reevaluate. What are we missing? And now we may not want to wait till a year. We may want to wait 3 months or 6 months. If Jack has not been able to provide information to the local population, the public, that a meeting exists and where it exists and how to get there, and no one has shown up, that is where we reevaluate. What are we missing? Is Jack the only addict in suffering or was suffering from the disease of addiction in that town? I doubt it. So we monitor, would say within 3 months, no one has shown up, and we reevaluate. Reevaluate would be, okay, what can we do different? And when we think about what we can do different, we think we go beyond the region. And we reach out to subject matter experts such as Wolvina, who is a rock star in being able to reach out to professionals in the community. Our zone has a PR specialist, and we reach out to him and say, you know, what can we be doing differently here? And then they get invested and they get involved. And what it's often the case is when you reach out to people that have a lot of experience, it's success in these type of projects, is they're going to become invested in making sure that this project is successful. So that is, okay. And then, I'm sorry. So then where we would close is the goal is 1 year, right? So the goal is 1 year, establish a consistent weekly meeting in one of these locations. And then at the end of the year, if Jack is sitting there and he's got five members there now that are showing up every week, one of them got there and they picked up 30 days, and then it's been a year later, they're coming up on a year, and then they've got a couple other people that got picking up on 6 months and 9 months, then we close the project. We close it.
So let me back us up a second, Kelly.
Sure.
So what's the solution here? We identified, and just for the sake of this call, that we identified an issue. Let's just say we prioritize that. We've gone through the priority. All of us have said, yep, that's the issue. you guys think that's the most important thing. We all prioritize this as the goal, right? So the solution is what? And this is just not for you. This is for, what's the solution here?
And the phone lines are now open. Anyone can jump. Harold, anyone can jump in here. Is this working?
Is the solution to establish a PR committee? What's the solution? If this is the issue, lack of meetings there, and the goal is to establish NA meetings, what's the solution? How do we do that?
Establish a team. Committed to helping local members create and sustain a weekly local meeting.
Okay, let's create a project plan for that. And this is just real basic stuff, just because this whole process, this takes time. And it once you guys, if you make a commitment to start engaging planning within your service environment, whether it's area, region, or zone, you have to plan to plan. And then it's a process that could take a couple of cycles, a couple of years to get going and develop traction and those kind of things. But it's just like a fourth step in recovery. There's only one wrong way to do a fourth step, and that's not to do one at all. Otherwise, it's just a process. All of you can relate, I think, to just first fourth step, second fourth step, those kind of things. So let's create real basic project plan. What's the name of the plan? That's the what. The name of the plan is to, let's just
stand by.
Okay.
Where did it go? Establish a meeting in Grove Hill.
What's the name of it?
Grove Hill.
Okay, that's the name of the plan. All right, so who's going to do it?
Who? Jack, Tom, and Mary.
And this is the parameters we're going by. When are they going to do that?
Well, the when would be like at the end of the project they would meet monthly. To establish contact with a local member.
Yeah, we're just building the project plan, right. So how much? What's the financial cost, if any?
None.
And you guys see what I'm just following this framework. What? That's the goal. That's the action plan. Call it action plan, project plan. They're synonyms. That's the statement of the plan. Who is Jack, Tom, and Mary? When? Is from May through October. No financial impact. And now, who monitors this?
The region.
The region. Got it. Boom. That's the way, a very high level, you know, kind of dirty way of doing it for the sake of this call. But we're just trying to give you guys an idea of how you take an issue, you have some thoughtful discussion, you break it down, break the issue down, because sometimes things can seem so overwhelming. We can't do that, blah, blah, you know, just overwhelming. So planning gives you a way to break an issue down, capture the issue, prioritize it, have everyone's voice in it, have consensus and building, look at a possible solution. Again, everyone's giving input, prioritize those things and develop a work plan to like move towards that and develop a solution and prioritize a solution and then create a plan to get it done. And that way, chances are we'll be more successful at what we're doing, and our investment in it will pay off. That's what this is about. And we'll carry the message that much further when we incorporate planning within our service.
Excellent. So we've got 5 minutes. Our next presenters have arrived early. So I'm very happy to see that. But before we move on, this is a very complex, this was a very broken down, detailed, complex, not too complex, but it was very technically specific with planning. So we can answer some general questions, but I would recommend that if this is something that sparked your interest or something that was like, I want to know more about this, reach out to me, reach out to John, who's the AD. You're definitely welcome to reach out to Craig too. We will take some time and maybe set up a meeting and go through it again. And maybe even show up at your area and give this presentation in an area, maybe even help your area initiate a project. So if there's a project in your area and you haven't really quite figured out how to do it, you've seen this and went, this might be a way that we could do this one thing. John and I would be happy to, and I don't speak for Craig, but be happy if it's within our schedule, drop in and mentor and coach you guys way through creating a project plan for your area.